Turn your Bibles, would, of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've been taking a look at here, this chapter, and slowing down with it to really try to absorb and take in all the things that are mentioned here. There's those at the church of Corinth that have an argument against the resurrection. And the apostle and the Lord, through his word, is told about the fallacy of that, the vanity of that. Without the resurrection, our hope is taken away. So much so that why do we baptize? Why do we baptize people if the resurrection is not so? He says and makes it very clear, the word, the Spirit of God speaking through our brother, if Jesus is not raised, then his children will not be raised. But if Christ is raised, his children will be raised. The resurrection, everlasting life, are those two truths, our Lord rising, his children rising, are bonded together. He says so much so that those that are fallen asleep, if the resurrection is not so, if it's not so in Christ and not so in us, then those that are asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of men most miserable. He says our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. And it's just without the resurrection, there is no reason for the message and the message we preach and the work that we pursue. But we do have hope in our Lord. And as he answers the argument about some in verse number 35. Well, how are the dead raised up? Consider all the substance that the Lord has made, the difference in the flesh amongst even mankind, and then that between us and the animals, and then the terrestrial bodies and the celestial bodies, all the substance that God has made. He said, no, the angelic and their substance, their flesh, how else can we say it? Consider what the Lord has done. It's no problem for him to make a body. All the flesh is not the same, but the Lord has made those in their own glory. We saw that in verses 35 through 41. And so we see this, and we talked about how it is with things that grow upon the earth. We have that example of how things grow. You don't plant a cherry tree to get a cherry. You plant the seed, then you get the tree, then it brings forth its fruit and the cherries and the seeds within itself. The Lord has the Lord's work in those things is not just very simple-minded, but it is glorious in the way that the Lord has done. And so we see that the kernel of grain that is planted in the ground, that's evidenced all around us here in our part of the world with the corn and the wheat that's going to soon look to be harvested, and then beans are going to be planted, and that's going to grow up and everything. The kernel is sown. And somehow, and the Lord said, unless the kernel of wheat falls to the ground and die, it cannot grow up and bear forth fruit. The Lord said that about himself. He must die that we might live, that we might be given life, and the answer to the Lord's work and plan in that for life to be given to sinners like us. So every child has done this project at some time or another, or if they haven't, they will take a couple beans, put them in a paper towel, put them in the window in the kitchen or somewhere, and it sprouts forth. And what happens? Well, the husk of that old bean, of that bean rather, it splits open. And somehow then there in the miracle of life, what's inside that dead bean sprouts to life with water and heat and sunshine and the miracle of the Lord. And look, what's old is left behind. It's good for fertilizer, right? That's a way that it's going to go back to the dust because everything is that way. But what's in there is sprouted forth to a new life. It's going to bring a plant, and then that's going to bring fruit, and then there's going to be beans to plant and to eat, right? Okay. Well, let's look what the apostle, what our Lord gives us here. The glory of all the different bodies in verse number 41 are different. And the Lord has a body prepared for us, a substance prepared for us in that eternal body. And I mentioned also last time how it is that those who reject the Lord, those who are there found at the great white throne judgment of the Lord, unrepentant, unbelieving, they will have a body too fitted for destruction. All those, I give this example that we just might think about this. Cain is yet in hell. We have no indication of Cain being saved. Cain is yet in hell. Pharaoh are yet in hell, having died centuries ago, millennia ago, and are yet living, but have been dying in hell. They are yet there today. Okay? It continues on and on and on. So the Lord has that ability to give a body as pleases him. Okay, verse 42. So in this glory, of these bodies, of this substance, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Listen, it is sown in corruption, in that part of it dies and rots away. Our old flesh will do just that. It's just the facts, not to be morbid or anything, but it's just the facts. It is sown in corruption. We know that we are in a corrupt state, don't we? I mean, listen, if we were not in a corrupt state, we wouldn't have to take showers and baths, because we all know what happens if we don't take showers and baths. We will stink because we are corrupting. that's what's at hand. We live a life of fighting against death that just keeps on coming and keeps on coming and ultimately drags us down to the ground. Okay? It is sown in corruption. And listen how that, listen to the word that the Lord uses. Sown, like the sowing of seed. Like the planting that there is. Let's quickly, let's go over here. Let's go ahead and bring this in just to be reminded of this over in Romans chapter 6. A few verses here. Let's read this and put these in here. Verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, identifying with it, showing forth that we needed it? Listen to the words, baptized into death. You know what that means? We're put under the water, right? We are immersed in Christ. We need Christ, don't we? Is there any part of what Jesus has done in the fulfilling of the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection that you don't need? Is there any part of that that you can do without? Take two out of the three? No, we need all three, don't we? We need every whit of Christ. So he says, we're baptized into Jesus Christ, or baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried, that's another word that's used, with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That new life is manifested now. It will be manifested in that new body like Christ. For if we have been planted, there's another word telling about the symbology of baptism, what all it means. Okay. And we've been planted together. If you will, we've been sown together in the likeness of his death. We are dead to self and raised a new life in Christ. We are dead to sin, self, the world, Satan, and alive in Christ. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Yeah, he raised, so are we. We identify with Christ's death, his death and his burial and resurrection, and that's what baptism typifies, because it's going to be so for us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, it's talking about living life, that the body of sin might be destroyed. We mortify it now. We mortify it now. It's pinned down. Ultimately, it will die. That's the best thing for the body to do, is die. None of us are volunteering, but it is the best thing that can happen to the flesh, is for it to die. We'll be released from it. Okay, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. We look to do that, and we strive to do that now, not serve sin. Mortify the flesh is the way that we do it. Ultimately, it will be brought to an end, and will no longer serve sin when this old flesh dies. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Resurrection. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Resurrection, eternal life. And every whit. We have eternal. Brother Stevens brought it out in his Sunday school class. We have the Spirit of God living within. Our soul is saved. We have everlasting life. But salvation is not fully complete in us, in that our bodies are not saved. Our minds are not saved. But they will be one day. It's not if. It's part of the package. We are now saved. Now are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we'll see him, we'll be like him. And then it'll appear and we'll say, you know what the biggest word, one of the biggest words we're going to be saying is? Wow. 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 Praise the Lord and wow. Look at this. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died once unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God, and so will we. Likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed to sin now, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So, it is sown, this body is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Hallelujah for that. It is sown in dishonor. We have our loved ones. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a glory in living, having been made in the image and likeness of our Lord, and youth and strength, well used for the Lord, is a wonderful and glorious thing. But then as we look on at our loved ones and our brothers and sisters in Christ and how it is with the way it is in this life, that they are subject to things that we are saddened and wish that they did not have to go through because their bodies are getting tired and they have to have help that they've never had before. And they have to, every person has to resign themselves to things that you did for yourself that you cannot now do for yourself. You have to have somebody else help you. And you want to do, though, they want to do those things for themselves, but they cannot and they need that help. It's a sad affair, isn't it? And sin has done that to us. I'm just talking about in the general sense of how sin is destroying and taking away. Sin is killing us physically. And I'm not talking about particular sin that you have done having brought the judgment of God upon you. I'm talking about what Adam's sin has done to his children. And here we are. And that it's honorable to have strength and ability and care for yourself. It's a heartbreak and dishonoring. You understand how I mean that? How that is when somebody gets old and tired and they just can't take care of themselves. They used to be able to. And no doubt we will remember those days. We understand how we're limited at whatever place and age that we are. You know, what, over 40? Seems like 40 is when you started seeing it. I started seeing it. And for sure 50. It's just slipping away. It's sown in dishonor. Listen, it doesn't stop there because of our Lord. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Hallelujah for that. A body like Christ. Young enough and old enough. it's debated. Well, how old will the saint be? How old will the saint be? I don't know. If it's just like Christ, I'm 33 years, right? Prime of life. Isn't that something? Samuel was brought back there by that witch at Endor to deal with Saul. And he had a mantle on and she saw him as an old man, I believe it was. Whether we are the age that we died, but in this glorified body, or the age that Christ is in a glorified body, well, don't worry about it. Whatever it is, it'll be real, real good. Okay, it's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and indeed it is, but raised in power. The Lord says, like the angels. You know, think about this. The brethren over here mentioned in the same chapter in verses 5 through 8. And then he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. They all saw the Lord that way. They saw him glorified. And no doubt that was a blessing and a motivation to them as the Lord used his appearing unto them and their experiences with him. And as our brother writes this, incorruption, glory they saw him, a spiritual body indeed. It is raised in power, verse 44, it is sown a natural body, which we understand that. It is raised a spiritual body, and that's a spiritual body with substance, okay? There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And we've dealt with that here in some weeks past on Wednesday evening about what are the saints seeing in heaven? What is their experience? I tell you what, they're really there. It's just not ooey gooey in the ether. They are really there. Yet when they come to this earth with the Lord at the resurrection and the rapture, they will have their bodies. And the miraculous, as this chapter will speak to us, the miraculous thing that the Lord will do. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body indeed. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And here we are. Here we are, him and his children. Right there, the Lord did it in the book of Genesis. He was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Amen. Brother Stephen touched upon this. Our Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God, all the Spirit of God that he has, he gives life unto whomsoever he will. Sinner, without Christ, you need him. He's the giver of life. He's got it. He's got what you need. You need him. Not religion, not a church, not a creed, not a system of doctrine, not a philosophy. You need Jesus Christ because he's the life giver and the quickener of men, women, boys, and girls. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam indeed. There needs to be no one else to fulfill all that God has given unto mankind to do. Jesus Christ has done it. And oh, what a Savior. He takes that and he imputes that into his children. Jesus' obedience is my obedience. Think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ's obedience by virtue of being saved by him and being his child, being the child of God, his obedience is my obedience. And by that, we are justified. We are justified before God, made as if we've never sinned. He's the last Adam. There's no need for another. And he is a quickening spirit indeed. Verse number 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And praise the Lord for our Lord Jesus. He's not weak in power and not trying to do anything. He has done what has pleased him. Verse number 46, howbeit that was not first which was spiritual. He says you don't just like you don't have the fruit of whatever grows. You don't have the fruit first, you have the tree. It grows up and it bears the fruit, then the seeds inside for continuance. He said, you don't have the spiritual first. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, the earthly, the carnal, and afterward that which is spiritual. There's an order that the Lord Jesus said. Brother Stephen brought it out this morning. The Lord declared it unto Nicodemus, you must be born again. To see the kingdom, to enter into the kingdom, you must be born again. It is the natural that the Lord works it with and works in to save, to bring the spiritual, to bring an understanding and the wealth of the spiritual and rescue unto sinners. The first man, Verse number 47 is of the earth, earthy. That's what we know. That's that one that Brother Bobby read about this morning that had been given the pound. He was earthly. He went, didn't hear the word of the master, didn't hear occupy till I come. He got the pound in his hand and he went and got him a napkin, rolled it up in there, dug a hole in the ground and trusted the earth with it. Trusted his own way with it. That which is of the earth is earthly. What's it say here? Such as they are, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And again, our brethren mentioned here earlier in the chapter saw the Lord like this. Verse number 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Is it so, Brother Jim? It is so. I can't cause you to feel it now. But we know that it's so. We believe by faith that it is so. We believe our Lord having promised it, it will be so. Can we imagine it? No. We can see it in the scriptures, but we get it. We want to experience it. We have little glimmers of it and it slips away from us. But one day we will experience it. We will be with our Lord. And when we see him, we'll be like him. And we'll be evermore with him in that state. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Again, you must be born again. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Lord willing, we'll take a look at that next time. I'm going to spend a good amount of time on that.